Well, let's go right away to live in the center part of the state of Israel, a place called Shiloh, a great historic significance for the Jewish people in the past and a present significance because the former mayor of Shiloh is on the line with us. He's a longtime broadcast partner with us right here on Prophecy Today. I'm talking about Israel Madad. Winky, thank you so much for being available for us. Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov, a good week, Jimmy.
Thank you very, very much. Well, just about 48 hours ago, I was in your fair country, had a great time. Sorry we did not be, we're not able to connect while I was there. But indeed, we're back here in the States, jet lag still working. I forgot the number of the 800 number, the toll-free number for our call-ins. I'll have to have it written down so I can read it. But I want to talk to you, and I'm going to let you do most of the talking. I want to find out, this last Thursday, the 30th anniversary of the Israeli-Egyptian peace agreement was celebrated, and it was celebrated somewhat more extensively in Israel than it was in Egypt. First of all, talk to me about the significance of this treaty before I ask you some other questions.
Well, the significance of the treaty was for the first time an Arab state was willing to engage Israel at least on the diplomatic and what we, I guess we could call the international legal platform, and sign a treaty. We have a major problem over the past, I would be close now to a century, because the conflicts that we know and we learned as kids and we see even today as adults around the world are most usually about borders, about rivers, about forests, about territory. They're not usually about whether or not I recognize you as willing, as I am willing to view you as a state with a political system. And this was one of the problems of the Arab-Israel conflict, and between you and me, I think it still is, in which it wasn't a matter of, well, you give us back territory and we'll give you peace, but perhaps we shouldn't even be talking to you. And I'm, of course, intimating to the fact that we still have a major problem with the Arabs who live within the territory between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River. But Egypt, which was a distinct entity, finally realized after several wars that it would be in everybody's best interest to come to some sort of peaceful conclusion. And that was the first peace treaty between Israel and an Arab state, in which Egypt basically recognized Israel.
Well, in reality, was that not the very first peace treaty in the 4,000-year history of the Jewish people with any of their neighbors?
Well, we could go back to Avimelech, king of Gaza, another biblical stories, or arrangements between the King Solomon and Hiram of Tyre, where arrangements were made. But I guess in terms of Arabs per se, this indeed was the first peace treaty ever since the Arab nation became Muslim, which is what, 1,400 years ago now, 1,500 years ago or so?
Yeah.
And so this was the a major revolutionary step in the history of modern-day Israel.
I thought it was very interesting to note the historic visit by Anwar Sadat in November, I think, of 1978 or 77, whenever it was, he came to Egypt, to Israel from Egypt. That was kind of a opening of the eye for the rest of the Arab world to realize one of their leaders was participating in recognition of this Jewish state.
Well, we have a testimony of someone who was actually opposed to Sadat's moves. But after the visit and after seeing the street reaction in Egypt, he changed his mind and supported Sadat because he realized that this was indeed an exciting, exhilarating example that people can begin to approach each other as human beings rather than as enemies. And so that is the significance of the peace treaty is multiple. One of them is indeed the possibility of breaking down the barriers. I personally feel that a lot more could have been done. The fact of the matter is, as you stated in your question to me, even after 30 years, El Aram, which is like the most government-recognized or affiliated newspaper, was very low-key and very sort of downplaying, even after 30 years, that we don't have war, but we also don't have enough tourism, enough commerce, and as you and I have discussed over the past year or so, the fact that there's a lot of smuggling going on into Gaza, and now slowly but surely is being shut down, is an indication that we still have a long, long way to go.
Well, actually, the bottom line is that this peace treaty has not been normalized. It is not working as all the parties would have liked to thought that it would work. Of course, that that visit by Anwar Sadat to address the Knesset in Jerusalem ended up, along with the signing of the peace treaty, and bringing his death to him when he was assassinated soon after.
Yes, I mean, the recognition, the fact that perhaps Sadat was powerful enough to carry official Egypt into the peace treaty, and through American pressure, we have to be very clear on this, Jimmy, because, you know, we talk many times about Israel, but there's always America in the background, which can help or otherwise, negotiations and probes and reaching out for peace. The agreement of the American government to award Egypt an amazing amount of foreign aid, I think, has kept things in check, because it's not only a question of anti-Israel, but, as you said, Sadat was assassinated by then, we didn't exactly know it, but it basically the forerunners of what we know today is the Islamic radicalism of fundamentalism, and which is still harming relations between Muslims and non-Muslims throughout the world, and especially in Europe, indication that his Mubarak's role as the successor of Sadat, he sits uneasy on the throne, shall we say, if he doesn't have control of these elements, which also affect, can Israel come to peace with the Arab world, rather than this or that state or this or that president or prime minister.
Isn't it interesting that the present president, Hosni Mubarak, has never made a state visit to Israel?
Yes, and it's quite, it's even funnier that last year the candidate for, or the current candidate for being foreign minister, Avigdor Lieberman, told him that if he next time he would like someone from Israel to come and visit him, he should come here first, and if not, he can go to some other place. and that's been picked up a lot. It's been played up on the news by people who don't like Avigdor Lieberman. But in a sense, you could say, well, he was perhaps undiplomatic in his language, but that basically is the sense of the feeling here. We have a peace. We have had an ambassador. We have relations. They are minor, but Mubarak has never come to Israel. Either he doesn't like us, or maybe he doesn't want to get assassinated himself, so I don't exactly know what the situation is. But that's not really peace, as you said, Jimmy. It's not, or shall we say, it's not a normal peace.
Yes, exactly. Not normalized. Well, we've got just a minute or two left here. Talk to me about what is an ongoing peace operation, the peace treaty that they're trying to pull together between Israel and the Palestinians today, and what is going to be the end result of those efforts are going to be basically put in place by the Netanyahu government. Looks like he and Ehud Barak have come to terms, and there's going to be a government in Israel finally.
Well, if you would have told those voters of the left, what we, I guess in American terms, we call more liberal or progressive forces, that the Labor Party would be supporting and going into a government with Avigdor Lieberman, they would be shocked. So that's a interesting development that's coming out here. As most people realize, and I think we've discussed for the past 2 years on this program every once in a while, the major security threat is Iran. And I think Mr. Netanyahu wants Barak with him on the situation because of his military background. And he also wants him on to make sure that he's not that pressured by American or other governments in terms of Judea and Samaria and the need perhaps to make moves there that would be detrimental to Israel, both from a Zionist political and security aspect. But the most important thing, I think, is that the linking of the fact that Mr. Netanyahu, when you ask about peace negotiations, he has basically said, wait a second, let's talk about economics. And if we have an economic peace, then we can get into a political peace. This has been his thrust right now, and it seems Barack will be supporting him. In other words, it's sort of turning things on its head from the Shimon Peres days, that so-called New Middle East. First, let's get that New Middle East or that New Israel-Arab relationship, and then we can talk peace, which is also the same thing with the Egyptian treaty. Many people, including yours truly, would have said, well, I'm willing to go the route with peace if we can normalize first for 5 to 10 years and then see how it works rather than giving over Sinai. I was in the minority, so my opinion wasn't accepted. But that's sort of an interesting link, yeah, if I can make, Jimmy, between your first question or theme and the second one about what Israel does with its local Arab partner.